much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right. Now sober up and try to listen to this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Here's the next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
Being the interview killer.
Why does being suck so bad? Why does being suck so bad? Why does being suck so badly?
I stepped in dog poo.
And then funk breaks loose all over the place as the 46th Annual Grammy Awards continues right here on CBS.
And now.
So what actually is the FB?
The FBI is the...
The FBI!
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
Little Ally G. Come on.
I love Ally G. Love.
Morning, everybody. It's 5:31, and it is Thursday morning. What's happening?
Well, what's happening is you pick up the phone, you give us a call, you get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, and you get a prize. 1-800-520-1067. Mike, were you at the game last night?
I was.
Dodger game?
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened, Kevin?
I did not.
A couple nights ago, Manny was hit by a pitch in the wrist. And so he was not starting last night. Joe Torre had said to the press before the game, there's a good chance that he might come in to pinch hit if we feel like we need him, but he's not going to start. It was Manny bobblehead night, and it was sold out, and everybody was excited. It was Manny's big night because it was Manny bobblehead night. Well, he comes in to pinch hit, like he had promised, and first pitch with the bases loaded, he blasts a home run. Grand slam.
A grand slam.
Was nuts.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
96-mile-an-hour fastball. First pitch.
Just
grand slam.
Wow.
Just nailed it.
His bat speed is so unbelievable that it looks like the Matrix. Because like Bean said, it was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. And he was so far ahead of the pitch. He pulled it right down the left
field. Did he hit it on the left field line?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
just, and it was a bullet. I mean, it's like...
It was a line drive, yeah.
Stuff doesn't move at the same speed for him. It's just...
Yeah.
That's just crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, it's his 21st Grand Slam. And I guess only Lou Gehrig is ahead of him now in Grand Slams. So it's just insane. I mean, it's like a movie. You wouldn't believe it in a movie because it's bobblehead night. He's hurt. He's got the bruised hand. They bring him in to pinch hit. They switched pitchers. The Reds switched pitchers. So this was the poor sucker who came in to save the situation. His first pitch thrown, Grand Slam.
And what's weird about that is he's so much better than everyone else in the major leagues are, you know, the best baseball players in the world.
Yeah.
And he's still
crazy.
At another level.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. But a Grand Slam is the best.
Pretty exciting stuff. Don't you wish you liked baseball?
I do. I sure wish I did.
I think his biggest asset, and this is just my hypothesis, is that he doesn't interpret any situation any different than the next. He could be taking batting practice or be hitting in the bottom of the ninth of Game 7 of the World Series, and man, it's the same
heart rate. He's pretty cool.
Same heart rate. After he hits a home run, he looks like a Labrador in those sports competitions you see on ESPN, in that these dogs are doing the most insane things, but their face has the same expression as it does when they're sitting on the couch. That's the way Manny is.
No excitement, no pressure.
He's running on the bases as if he just struck out, or he could have hit a grand slam, and he's just kind of like, nonchalant.
Wow.
It's funny, by the way, speaking of batting practice, he didn't even take batting practice yesterday.
No kidding.
Didn't even take it, yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Something not right about somebody being that much better than everyone else.
Sold his soul.
I mean, it's good if he's on your team, but just it seems weird that somebody could be that out in front of everyone.
Yeah.
It was good times. Hey, real quick before we go to the calls, again, 1-800-520-1067. What's going on with Lisa May at home that she's not telling us? Because several days in the last week, she's come in with a ponytail, and I think you know what that means.
What does that mean?
And at least 2 days this week, she's come in with white pants. I mean, screaming white pants, like right out of the bleach. What's up?
Yeah. That's true.
You know, girls
sounds like good
do
things
what a
are
girl's
happening.
Do.
Yeah,
it's the summertime, right?
In this case, a girl's got to do certain things.
Lisa's having a good summer. It looks like
she wants to be taken out to dinner.
That's correct.
But I mean, you know how I feel about the ponytail. I love ponytails, but I guess it's a handle. I mean, essentially, it's just making it easier for me to do my job. But when Lisa puts a ponytail in, she's told us in the past it's because she just doesn't have time to do anything with her hair.
Right.
And I think that's because
she's coming from someone else's house.
Yeah, exactly. And she doesn't know exactly how long it's going to take because she doesn't know what city she's waking up in anyway. way, you know?
She's still a little dirty.
Sure.
Right.
That. I hear you. Well, there's some truth to that.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. Right. Good times.
All right, time for your phone calls. Let's do it.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
The movie is called Funny People. Kevin was telling me yesterday, funny not included, but I guess we'll find out. It's the great Adam Sandler with Seth Rogen, directed by Judd Apatow. You get to see a special event screening on Thursday, July the 30th. That's your prize for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew this morning.
Okay. I wasn't saying it wasn't funny. I was just saying it is a drama.
It's a drama.
Mainly,
yeah.
Which just surprised me. All right, let's start with Mike. Hello, Mike.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do, Mike?
Hey, just driving into work, I was slightly inebriated after the No Doubt show last night, had about 2 hours of sleep. The show was amazing.
No Doubt Paramore, that was at Gibson?
Gibson, yes. Fantastic. I have not seen Paramore before, but we'll see them again.
Yeah, they're...
Don't be late.
They're really good in concert as
Absolutely.
Well. I mean, they put on the same kind of show as No Doubt, which is high energy and just jumping all over the stage and going crazy.
Yeah, exactly. High energy and well staged.
Yep.
The lighting, it's a great combo.
Everything was amazing.
Yeah, it's a perfect combo. It's great to see two bands so compatible on the same bill. We did have Paramore on our afternoon show yesterday, and we have highlights of that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour this morning if you're a Paramore fan and you missed it.
Yeah, I missed it, and I already started drinking. So
they're the real deal. Yeah, well, why don't you keep your drinking, too, when you're not driving?
Well, I'm not driving. I'm not drinking now. And that cop just drove by me as I'm speaking on the cell phone.
Oh, you're lucky.
Hey, speaking of that, somebody emailed yesterday and says it's really bugging him that he sees police officers all over town talking on their cell phones in the car when they're driving. And he wants to know if they have some sort of special exemption or if they just know they're not going to get pulled over and get a ticket like the rest of us.
Well, I'm guessing
I haven't
they have
seen it. That, but
I'm guessing they have an exemption because I see them running red lights, and that makes me angry.
That's true, too.
Because I want to run red lights, so I'm guessing it's the same thing.
Yeah, probably.
But, I mean, at least if they're running red lights, there could be an actual situation that they're in that doesn't require lights but requires some speed.
Right.
With a cell phone, any business that they've got to do, they could be doing on their radio.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that.
Exempt.
You're exempt.
Must be, yeah.
It's the beauty of being a cop. All right, let's go to James. Hi, James. What's going on?
Not much. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Okay, so it's not so much what it do, it's what did she do. I found out my girlfriend's in the dog.
I'm sorry, what? Whoa.
I don't like the sound
whoa,
of that.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You mean, you mean that your girlfriend likes to have pets that are dogs?
No. It's not like how Bean has 3 dogs or whatever. It's more like a love line question, but I can never get on there. So
yeah,
like,
I don't. We can't really.
There are
help
rules.
You with that. I would suggest moving on. Is what I would suggest.
Yeah. There's no way I can like break her of it, or I mean,
no.
Like,
well, you hit her in the nose with a newspaper.
Squirt her with water every time she does it.
You know, that might be a good idea. But,
no was the answer.
No.
You need a shock collar.
I don't know. I'm not kinky like that.
Yeah.
That's not my scene.
Well,
but,
maybe she's the wrong person for you is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You got to get out. That's honked up. There's no excuse for that.
No?
Nope.
Like,
no.
Okay. She says, well, that.
Dude, you knew the answer to this before you called.
And you know it now.
Well, you know, I thought I could
move on. That's a pretty easy one. We may not have all the answers, but that's a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to DJ. Hi, DJ.
Hey, what did you nephew? What did you, baby boo?
What did you?
What's going on?
I was wondering if you guys saw that video that leaked out on ESPN of LeBron getting smashed on.
I didn't watch it. We talked to TMZ yesterday because they had it, and they said they were going to put it on their TV show last night, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty hilarious.
It's a sophomore in college that is at a LeBron James basketball camp and dunks 2 hands on him.
Yeah.
And then apparently LeBron or somebody from Nike or somebody, they went around and took all the cameras so it wouldn't get out, but somebody had a cell phone, so it did get out.
Now it's a much bigger story.
Yeah.
Yeah, they blew that. They should have just let it come out that day and congratulated the kid and moved on. We'd have forgotten about it already.
Yeah,
stupid to assume that someone who's not a professional could never, ever, ever do that once to somebody?
On LeBron James?
Once?
No.
Come on. Maybe he's not expecting it.
No, but I mean, if you were to ask me if that would happen ever, I would say probably not. No. Because he's a monster of a guy.
And this kid is being shopped around, right?
Yeah, this is an exceptional high-level college basketball player. This isn't Dave and I playing LeBron in a pickup game and I dunk on him.
Right, but even so, if I had to put my money on would that happen in one of his camps with those players, I would say no way. But the fact that it happened, you'd think he would just go, wow, that was great, congratulations.
Yeah.
And then it would go away, but he tried to hide the tapes and everything else, and now that makes us want to see it more.
Of course.
Don't you learn anything from President Nixon? It's not the lying, it's the cover-up. Same deal.
All right, let's go to Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
So I got the answer. Cops are exempt.
They are?
Yes, they are.
Oh.
So they can talk on the cell phone without the wires-free thing.
Yes, it kills me because, cops get constantly pulled over and, oh, you're on the phone, but they're actually exempt. They don't have to abide by
the answer. What is the reason for that?
Well, a lot of times you got to call back, get a hold of whoever's calling you, and just for emergency purposes, they let you do it. And a lot of times if you work by yourself, you got to get a hold of a sergeant or whatever it is. And
see, now that I've learned something, because I really thought that any business they needed to do, they could do on the radio with other officers or with dispatch or something like that. But you're saying there are times they actually need to make a phone call.
Well, a lot of times the radios don't pick up, or a lot of times you want to do stuff like, say, call the person that called you and get more.
It's kind of weird, by the way, that they wouldn't install Bluetooth in a police car.
although that can sound pretty crappy, and maybe they need a better...
Yeah.
You got a lot going on. You got the computer, you got the radio, you got the traffic, you got the lights going.
And now you got the cell phone.
You got the porn DVD going, the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. I'm giving them a wide berth because I don't think they're good drivers.
I can't confirm that.
You got to arrest the black guys in their own home. You got to do that. I mean, there's a lot. It's very busy being an officer these days.
Thank you, Victor, for the call. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
I don't care what happens between now and 8:30. Just make 8:30 get here and make it get here now.
Bean worships at the altar that is Weird Al.
Yay!
Weird Al Yankovic on the program today, talking about the Orange County Fair, and apparently he's got some kind of a weird exhibit about the brain. What?
What was that, Bean? What'd you just do?
Because Kevin was saying how he has a weird exhibit. I just thought, hey, how about the very funny?
God. He has an exhibit about the human brain.
Which seems odd.
It seems odd coming from Weird Al. That's not really what we expect from him.
I hope to get Weird Al's brain when he dies. I'll tell you that.
I know
you bid on it. I want it in a jar forever.
We're going to talk about Twitter etiquette. Twitiquette.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about this.
I have some complaints that happen to have to do with my man Bean.
What?
And how he uses the Twitter. Okay. So
how dare you
get to that. Yesterday, for example, when we had Paramore in. Bean says, oh, I sure hope you don't throw up all over the studio, Haley. And she stops for a second. She thinks, well, what's, oh, I must have put that on my, and Bean goes, yes, I read your Twitter.
Yeah,
that's legitimate, by the way.
Out of context, people do not, and you've done this before with guests, and it takes them a long time to figure out what you're talking about.
Because
they're just not thinking about it.
See, you should start with, I was reading your Twitter.
Yeah.
But you don't. You act like you just have that relationship with her and she's all confused. So that's, I'm just saying, there's some things that...
No, you're absolutely right.
All right. Yeah. And did you see the dude that proposed marriage over Twitter?
No.
Yep. That happened. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about how Arnold Schwarzenegger is having a California garage sale.
Everything must go.
Try and raise money because we seem to be a little behind in the budget.
Our poor state.
Miss Cleo's football triumph coming up in about 15 minutes.
I have
not heard
anything. I'm so excited.
I don't want to give anything away, but Miss Cleo equals giant failure. Giant failure. So that's just a tease. I don't want to give anything away.
Okay, that's subtle of you.
And we're going to tell you about a movie that you must see about our friend, the Armenian comedian. And when I say friend, I mean, you know, psychopath. But
right.
And when you say must see, you mean even if you hate him, you have to see it.
Yes. It is awesome. And we'll tell you about that coming up this morning as well. And we have also got the Road Trip USA on the way. Stop number 2, No Doubt, in Honolulu, Hawaii. You qualify all week with tickets to see No Doubt and Paramore at Verizon Wireless or at Gibson. I think they play Gibson on Monday night, and then they play Verizon. And you'll win those tickets, and you'll get a chance to take that trip to see them in Honolulu.
Very cool.
Which is pretty cool. A quick break, and we will come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q with the Silver Sun Pickups at 5:55.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Weird Al Yankovic is here. It is time to talk about his exhibit at the... What? We have Weird Al?
Not doing
that
until 8:30.
Not yet?
Going to have to wait till 8:30.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Okay. Well, here's Ralph Kramer.
Here's Ralph down with the Showbiz Beat, is what Bean needs.
Thank you, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can talk more about baseball. Baseball and Weird Al. That'd be a fun
That was worth it. That was worth it. You got to at least admit this time with what happened last night at Dodger Stadium. It was worth bringing up.
Speaking of baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays are offering tickets to any fan who will come in to get their prostate checked.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Come in for a prostate exam, which, for those of you who don't know, involves a doctor taking his hand, putting it in a rubber glove.
No! No!
And then investigating one of your orifi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 400 men have signed up for tickets. You get 2 tickets to a Rays game if you let a doctor check your prostate. Which seems appropriate for baseball fans, doesn't it? Don't you assume they're getting that treatment a lot, probably at home from their husbands? You know what I'm saying?
I gotta switch doctors. My doctor doesn't use his hand or a rubber glove.
Oh,
Dean!
Wow,
I'm just saying.
Wow,
yo quiero un casket, please. Apparently, the Taco Bell Chihuahua is dead.
Oh.
Remember the little Taco Bell Chihuahua?
Yeah.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Sure.
Yo quiero to breathe.
That's what he's saying now. Yeah, the Chihuahua was 15 years old. It was a girl, actually.
Oh.
Really?
Gidget was her name.
Didn't know that.
And she, of course, had a big career with Taco Bell until some special interest groups, Hispanic, Latinos, and other groups were objecting.
To what?
To the dog. Don't you remember when they removed the dog from the commercials? Because they said it perpetuated stereotypes.
Well, the dog wasn't sleeping.
That Mexicans have accents?
That Mexicans have accents and like to eat Mexican food. You can't have that kind of stereotype running around.
Wow.
So she was thrown out of her job, apparently had a spiral, went into deep depression, started using drugs, alcohol, gained a lot of weight.
I hate it when that happens.
And they're still going to do a DNA test to see if the puppy is... Howard K. Smith, Howard K. Stearns, or Larry Burkhead's.
The way to say. 15's pretty. That's pretty good sized life though for a Chihuahua, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah,
yeah. That's
well, tiny dogs live
tiny
longer,
dogs live
right?
Longer, but I mean, still 15's
good.
15's good. 15's
good.
Yeah,
but it's good. There's one less Chihuahua in the world. That's what we're saying.
Well, absolutely not. Well,
that
good.
Does help.
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good that if they try to resuscitate that ad campaign. My dog Lola looks exactly like that dog, and I'm going to try to get her a spot.
Dave, all Chihuahuas look exactly like
that's
that dog.
True.
Right?
Yes.
Dave can do the voiceover work. Perfect. We both have a job.
Yo quiero un heartbeat.
That's what Gidget's saying now. Speaking of sick bitches, Misha Barton is doing much better this week, according to friends. She's still seeking treatment, but making improvements. Is she really still seeking treatment? Shouldn't they have found her some treatment by now?
Maybe. Perhaps.
Been in the nut hatch for 3 days. Word is she's ready to get back to work on The Beautiful Life, her series that's going to be airing on the CW. But insiders say producers of the show are putting a backup plan together because they are just not convinced she's going to be able to pull it together in time. So. Wow, coming on. No wonder Misha's got mental problems.
Yeah, you guys.
Oh. Hitting her with a gun, calling her fat.
She was so hot 2 years ago, by the way.
And she could be hot again.
She could be hot again. But she can rise from the ashes.
But she hasn't eaten in those 2 years.
Right.
That would help.
She's a little wee thing. She's wee. ABC has already picked up a third season of Wipeout to air next summer, so you're guaranteed some more summer programming in 2010 featuring Big Balls.
Love the Big Balls.
Love that show.
Lisa loves the Big Balls.
She does.
They're the best.
And speaking of Lisa, here's a little musical news for you.
Okay.
You know they're making musicals these
days.
Out
of everything.
Out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just announced The Addams Family, the musical. The Addams Family, the musical.
Don't need it. Do we need it?
Nathan Lane will play Gomez Addams.
It'll work.
All right, now I'm in.
And Bebe Neuwirth as Morticia. Remember, she was
casting.
Lilith on Frasier. She played Frasier's
wife. Yeah, I think so.
The pasty-skinned, dark-haired Lilith was his
she's a good actress.
Bitch of a wife. She's a big Broadway star too. She's done a ton of shows.
So
this was already a non-musical Broadway hit, right? The Addams Family, or no? Am I wrong about that?
No, sir, you are wrong.
It has never been on Broadway.
It has never been on Broadway.
Nathan Lane seems to have the magic touch, though. If
he's
he does,
a funny dude.
If he does something, it seems to be
he's
pretty successful.
He's a funny dude.
I'm not going, but I'm just saying.
And he's, you know, he does the musicals. And
sure.
You know. Just saying.
Sure. All of that's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of Frasier and Lilith, another guy used to hang around the bar there on Cheers, Woody Harrelson, 48 years old today. How's Woody going to celebrate? I wonder. What substance would he ingest to celebrate?
Cake.
Probably cake. Mm-hmm.
And how can you tell it's any different from any other day that's not his birthday?
Martin Gore of D-Mode is 48 years old today. Slash of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses turns 44. One of my favorite actors, Philip Seymour Hoffman. How good is that, mofo?
That's great.
42 years old today. Model Stephanie Seymour celebrates her 41st birthday. Have you seen Stephanie Seymour lately?
No.
She is diabolical at 41. She is stunning. She got the genetic jackpot right there. That young lady did. Charisma Carpenter, speaking of hotties. Remember her from Buffy and Angel? She's sure. 39. Singer, actor-comedian Marlon Wayans is 37. Actor Omar Epps. From one of my favorite shows on the planet, House. He's also the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He is.
He is 36 years old today. And Daniel Radcliffe, who, of course, is Harry Potter in all the Harry Potter movies, turns 20 years old today. Can't even have a cocktail yet. He's got $19 billion.
He can make one with magic, though.
That's true. He can just whip one up with his wand.
Yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is, in fact, the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of excitement in Southern California this week because it is the return of No Doubt.
I don't know what a hollaback girl is. All I know is I want her dead.
Oh, come on. Paramore last night at the Gibson Amphitheater. The band stopped by the Kevin and Bean Afternoon Show yesterday talking about Paramore now. And if you missed it, we got highlights for you coming up in about 15 minutes right here on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Miss Cleo, who has an active imagination, works here at K-Rock. She's a phone screener on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Mm-hmm.
She's been claiming for quite some time. How long have we been having this conversation, Mike? For like
three months? Yeah.
That when she was in grade school, junior high, she kicked a 50-yard field goal.
Unbelievable.
Right. So Mike and I started really pressing her on that. 50. You know how far that is, 50-yard field goal. Pros can't kick 50-yard field goals for the most part.
Was this before or after she told us she won all those gold medals in the Olympics?
It was about the same time.
Yeah.
She really has an active imagination.
And you can fly and read minds, too, right, Miss Cleo?
That's correct.
I'm a superwoman.
So we went to a local high school that had the uprights.
Okay.
And we put this to the test. And here was the bet that we made with Miss Cleo. And I want you to just listen in the background. I want you to listen to her confidence after we describe what she says she can do.
Hey, it's Kevin. Psycho Mike. Miss Cleo here. She claims when she was in grade school, she kicked a 50-yard field goal.
I did.
50 yards. So we have a little bet going today.
What we did was we cut the distance in half because 50 is ridiculous. A 25-yard field goal, she gets 4 tries. If she's successful, we give her $100. If she's not successful, she's going to do 25 seconds of jumping jacks in a bikini top. Gentlemen, start your boners.
This is audio, by the way, from the video that you can see, and it's well worth watching. Just go to kevinandbean.com and look for the video page.
Yeah, it's right on the front, Kevin and Bean TV.
Okay.
So she kicks 4 field goal attempts on a tee. We let her use a tee.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it on the 20, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Instead of the 25, because that's a long one. I mean, I know 20 doesn't sound like a long one, but when you're standing on the 20-yard line and looking at the uprights, which are 10 yards, you know, back from the goal line, it's a 30-yard kick, and it has to be 10 yards high,
yeah,
you know, to get through. Mm-hmm. So there's no way.
Well,
There was no way.
How close did she come?
Well,
pretty close.
Did you have one pretty close?
Mike,
no,
please.
Not pretty close. She did better than Kevin and I could have ever expected. She clearly does know how to kick well, and she had good form and everything. But she maybe can, I would say she could probably safely make a 15 to 10-yard field goal.
My last
one
kick.
One out of every 10.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get to your last kick in a second. So this is one of her kicks.
All right. Not bad.
Gotta tell you, that was better than I thought it was gonna be.
Okay, so she goes 1, 2, 3, 4. The last one was a grounder.
that's the one you were gonna talk about? Your
No.
Oh, no, hold on, Lisa. Right.
The last field goal that she tried was a grounder.
Okay.
So she, in her infinite wisdom, having coming really nowhere close to hitting this field goal,
yeah, mm-hmm,
decides to make another bet.
Double or nothing.
Double or nothing.
What's the double?
All right.
I go 50 for...
seconds. It's $200 or 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Fine with me. She just hit a grounder. Number four was a grounder.
So she's Kevin in Vegas who's just lost every penny in his pocket and gets up from the table, goes to the ATM, gets more cash out to go sit back down. That's what Miss Cleo is doing at this point.
Let's not bring this back to me. This is Miss Cleo failing. So we gave her four more shots at kicking the field goal.
Oh, okay.
And this is how that went. Yeah, the last one Mike caught about head high. Standing about...
The goal line.
Yeah, maybe the goal line.
Like 10 yards off.
Right.
Right, that's
which
the goal
is nowhere
line.
Close. Which is, it's pretty good kick for you.
Which is my argument for you guys today. Go ahead. Finish your little bit.
What's your argument?
There is no... Time out. I'm going to stop you before you get started. Because, no, don't get me started, Cleo. Don't act like you're Geraldo Rivera uncovering some conspiracy against you and you have the nugget of truth to rock the world with. We went over and over, both personally and here at the show, exactly where the kick would be, exactly how long
that's
it would be. Stop
argument.
It. Stop it.
No, you gave me the runaround, Mike.
Here's the thing. I was wrong in that I thought if you kick a field goal from the 25-yard line, it's a 25-yard field goal. But it's not. It's a 35-yard field goal because of the 10 yards.
Okay.
I didn't realize that you added that into it. For some reason, I was off on that.
Okay.
But Miss Cleo was claiming that she kicked a 50-yard field goal.
Right. So you cut her nothing but slack.
So we put it on the 20-yard line, which would make it a 30-yard field goal.
And let me go back to the beginning where the story all started. She not only claimed she kicked a 50-yard field goal. I went to press her on it, and she said, I was at midfield. And I said, so that would be essentially a 60-yard field goal. She's like, I was halfway down the field. And then we pressed her a little more, and then it came to that she punted a soccer ball that far. So I said, all right, are we going to make the bet from a 50-yard line or a 50-yard field goal? And she said, I was halfway in the middle of the field. I was right in the middle of the field on the 50-yard line. That's where it all came from. So I cut it in half to the 25-yard line. That was clearly stated.
Yep, then we moved it up to the 20-yard line, and she missed eight in a row. Okay. So the double to nothing means now she has to put on a bikini top and do jumping jacks for 50 seconds.
Wow, that's a long
right?
time.
Certainly what she agreed to, though.
Here we go. And now the payoff that surprises no one. Miss Cleo was unable to hit a 25-yard field goal.
It was the wind.
Double or nothing. So 50 seconds of jumping jacks. All right, here we go.
They're big.
And ready, go!
Wait, hey, that was 2 seconds. So she does a couple of jumping jacks.
And then what?
And then turns around and tries to hold everything in.
Oh.
And quits.
What do you do with somebody who not only doesn't pay off the first bet?
Was
which
this was, bikini top not going to keep everything in no,
place?
No, look. They were flying all over the place,
nothing
okay?
Would
and
keep
I was
everything
afraid
in place.
I was going to give myself a black eye. I'm top heavy. It was going to mess up my back royally.
I
said, nope, I'm out.
Right, but
so you welched basically.
So, but my question to you is: shouldn't you have done that before you made the bet? Because once you make the bet, you have to pay off. There's no option.
Well, was she going to expose herself? Because that's not.
I was afraid there was going to be some serious wardrobe malfunction.
Did she agree to it, Lisa?
Yeah.
Yes,
Lisa. It's not like she said, "Hey, guys, can we find some duct tape or can we do something to figure this out?" Because there's going to be. It was. I'm done. 3 seconds in, I'm out.
That was it. That's what she did.
By the way, that was the smart choice.
After bumping it up to 50 seconds.
Right. She double or nothing and then didn't even pay off one-tenth of the first bet.
By the way, Miss Cleo, let me ask you this. Had you, as unlikely as it is, had you actually hit the field goal, what if Kevin and Mike would have said, you know what, we've decided not to give you the $100 even though you legitimately won the bet. We're just not going to pay. How would you feel about that?
She doesn't know. You know why? It wouldn't happen.
But if it did, Miss Cleo, it's exactly the same. They would be welching on a bet that was clearly stated and agreed to by both parties. Would that be acceptable to you if they just decided not to pay?
Sure, why not?
No, please.
Well, she's screaming at us on the way over. I want to see the money. Make sure we have the money in hand.
When did I turn in the lightning?
So you can see this on the Kevin and Bean page, Kevin and Bean TV. It is 3 seconds of jumping jacks, but it's pretty spectacular 3 seconds, even though it was a complete and total failure.
Well, we've already had it on a loop.
Yes.
We've already had listeners suggesting that.
Like, just loop this. Yeah. I'm done.
Or just pay off the bet and do it.
And then go to the second clip, which is me getting hit in the nuts with a football.
How'd that happen?
Mike
was I was giving the ball to Miss Cleo. Mike was over by the uprights, and he threw maybe a 30-yard pass, a bullet, and it was short. It was short, you know, in front of me. So I tried to kind of block it with my foot just to kind of trap it against the ground like you would a soccer ball.
Yeah,
and I missed. And it was a direct hit. It dropped me to my knees. So Lightning, in his infinite wisdom, has put up a separate clip just of me getting hit in the nuts with a football.
Oh, that's where I'm going right now.
Yeah.
You watch it over and over. And I'm pretty sure. With everything.
And I haven't seen this yet, but I'm pretty sure he slow-mo'd it. Did he slow-mo it?
He did. Yeah. He slow-mo'd it. Yeah, the video and the sound, too. You hear Kevin going,
it is brutal. So Miss Cleo, failure on every level.
Oh,
her new nickname is Fail. That's what we're going to call her now. It's just Fail.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Kevin Abin Show here. Time to talk to Weird Al. He has an exhibit at the Orange County.
That's later today, not right now.
He's got a new essential anthology of music coming out. He's got a
That's later today. That's not right now.
I love Weird Al. I want to talk to him now.
You like him too much. And
he's the best. He's the greatest human in the world.
Little girly noise. All right.
I love him.
Let's talk about the best movie that's ever been made. And I don't think that's overhype. The best movie that has ever been produced.
I will tell you this. A, it's way better than anyone had any right to expect it to be. B, it's certainly the best movie I've ever seen that it was not released in theaters. I'll tell you that.
We have Matt on the line. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Matt Van Gelder is one of the people that put this up. I'm sorry.
Director, right, Matt?
Yes, correctly. One of the co-directors.
Now, for those of you that don't know Sam the Armenian Comedian, or those of you that hate him, this guy followed him around for years and interviewed Jimmy Kimmel and interviewed everybody in his life.
Yeah.
And he is so much worse. You know the people at the beginning of American Idol who can't carry a tune, can't even get in the ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
And then
that's why we watch.
And then are outraged that somebody would tell them they're not good and don't believe. That's our man, Sam the Armenian Comedian. He does believe he's the most talented and the most funny comic that has ever lived.
Yes.
And no one is less funny than him on the planet. I mean, it's really a disparity. It's a huge difference.
And he really believes, right, Matt, that he is going to be a star, that it's just a question of the right break happening to give him the stardom that he so richly deserves, right?
Yeah, and our documentary is the rise and fall of his career. But I just gave out a major spoiler. He, in the beginning of the movie, says he's going to be the biggest entertainer of all time.
Right.
He might have just told the audience he fails, but maybe they could have figured that out.
Yeah, sure. But here's the thing about that, and this is the part that always fascinates me. That is not bravado, I don't think. I think in Sam's particular case, that is 1,000% a fact, and the rest of us just haven't realized it yet. I mean, there's no doubt in his mind.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
How does someone become so out of touch with reality?
I don't know.
Lots of herbs.
Probably. Well, yeah.
Maybe so that's it.
So this guy follows Sam around and basically gives you a look at all of the amazing opportunities that Sam has had to become big.
Yeah.
He's got his foot in the door this way. He did it on our show. He did it on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
You got to give him credit for that.
No, we don't give him credit for any of that. We gave that to him.
Well, that's true.
And
but he got you to give it to him.
I guess, in a way. But then he failed every step along the way. Every time he's put on stage, he fails in a major, major way.
Yeah. He even got gonged on the Gong Show.
And it doesn't
that's
dampen
right.
his
right.
enthusiasm at all for his
that's
own
what's remarkable.
That's the part that drives me crazy. Because, you know, throughout your life, you might think you're good at certain things. But then every once in a while, you have one of those moments where you go, wow, that really hurts my feelings. I thought I was better, or, you know, other people's impressions or whatever. You realize you fail.
That's humiliating.
But yes.
That's why we need Sam. We lost Billy Mays. We need someone inspirational, exciting.
That's right.
And we need that because he will inspire you. When you have a bad day at work or you think you failed at something, you'll get up out of bed, you'll do it again.
Now, the reason we're telling you about this is because there are three pretty long clips on our website, kevinandbean.com or kbrock.com, and it's Born High is the name of it, H-Y-E, which I think is a word meaning Armenian?
Yes, that's what we discovered
right,
the other day.
Yes, it means
that's
Armenian.
What Sam told us. That's why I'm double-checking.
Right, yeah. Oh, I see.
And you follow him around in his clown outfit and talk to his family and talk to people, talk to a lawyer who describes why he got pulled over. Here's a bit of a trailer, kind of a recap on what's going on in Sam's life.
Meet Sam Manoushian, a.k.a. the Armenian Comedian. He's had many jobs. He's been a children's entertainer as a clown. He's been a failed comedian, a failed musician. And all during this period, he's been also cutting hair. So we always assumed that he was bad at that, too, because he's bad at pretty much everything he does.
I am the most talented man there is of the of human society of this kind.
I'm genius. I know I'm genius, and I've been told that many times.
Give me a break. He's awful.
I am no one's bitch. I'm my own bitch.
Did you get stoned today, Sam?
I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
By the way, I enjoyed so much watching the because I haven't seen the movie in a long time, Matt. But I enjoyed so much watching the clips that we have up on the website, and I'd forgotten what he used to look like with his ridiculous toupee because he hasn't been wearing that for the last few years. But man, did he have some bad rugs back in the day, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, and if you watch the Man Show, the opening credits, they remove his toupee. Jimmy Kimmel removes his toupee in the opening credits.
I got to tell you, this is a freak fest type of movie, and you can download the entire movie for $2.99.
Oh, that's a deal.
Yeah, way cheaper than buying a gram of pot. So I heard.
So you've heard, yeah.
Because how would you know?
And I got to tell you, I know that I'm more fascinating with Sam than most people.
Yeah.
I would pay $20 for this. It was fascinating to watch how ridiculous his life is, how ridiculous his confidence level is. Here's an attorney talking about how Sam got into trouble one New Year's Eve.
Sam was driving on New Year's Eve on the way to perform at a children's party. He was performing as a Power Ranger. He was dressed as a red Power Ranger. And he was driving his car in the diamond lane alone, smoking a joint. So the officer stops him, says, well, I pulled you over because you're driving by yourself in the diamond lane. And Sam was shaking his head no, as if he wasn't driving alone. And the officer then said, and I smell marijuana. Well, I mean, what's going on here? I smell marijuana. And Sam said, well, I wasn't smoking marijuana. He was. And the officer says, Who are you talking about? There's no one sitting there. Sam pointed to the passenger seat. And no one's sitting there. So the officer says, well, no one's there. Sam says, oh, he's invisible.
did you like that Miami Vice soundtrack?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was nice. Matt, I have had so many listeners throughout the years since we started talking about your movie who have emailed me and have been convinced that it's some sort of prank that we're just trying to fool them into thinking this movie exists. And I mean, as recently as the last few weeks, people have emailed me and said, that movie's never coming out, right? I'm never going to have the opportunity to see it. I'm only going to hear you guys talk. I'm so happy that you figured out a way to make this available for download for only $2.99.
Yeah, and
Kevin, it's so worth it.
The same way you would buy something on eBay. It's the same way. You just go online and use PayPal and you download it for $2.99. Very simple.
Oh, my God.
You had to have shopped this around to the various film festivals. I mean, did you get any interest or did it show some places? I mean, what happened to potential theatrical release?
He's very eclectic. He's very every meeting we have, we shouldn't have brought Sam to the meeting.
Oh.
It might have been a mistake. Oh.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. So we learned. It was a learning experience.
The movie is so well done, though. I mean, it looks like a professional. I mean, you're a professional. It is a professionally made movie. But, I mean, it really is an outstanding documentary. Whether, you are interested in the subject or not, it's just it's a great movie. So you deserve all the credit for that.
It's worth $2.99 just to see the scene where Sam pulls up next to a bus stop, rolls down his window, and starts yelling out at the kids that are waiting for their bus about the turkey genocide. He's yelling about genocide to these little kids. And then was it you, Matt, that was the cameraman?
Yes, and you got to hear him perform the 9/11 song.
Sure.
So, no topic is off limits for Sam.
Oh, he's the best.
And it's not like he's Sacha Baron Cohen and this is a character and he's trying to be controversial or funny. I mean, this is just how he rolls.
This is the real him.
Yeah, he couldn't make this stuff up if he tried. Oh. This is the way he really is.
It's the best. So there are three pretty long clips on our site, and then you can go to what's the site that they can download it for $2.99?
Bornhye.com.
BORNHYE.com.
And you guys have a great link on your page. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Straight to the store where you could buy the movie. And you could even buy a massage from Sam. You could buy many things from Sam. His wife will cook you dinner. There's lots of goodies and treats.
Wow. Who knew?
At the Bornhye store.
I don't want Sam within 15 feet of me, let alone touching
me.
No.
But also, he could, you could hire him for prank calls. If you have enemies, you could call Sam.
No one prank calls better than him.
Yes.
Hey, let's buy Lisa May a massage from Sam. Seriously, that'd be awesome.
This is a movie about the most colossal failure in the history of the human civilization, and it's fascinating, and you do good work.
Thank you.
Matt, thank you so much for making this available. A lot of our listeners are going to be very pleased, and especially for making it such a great price. Just $2.99. You can get the link from krock.com or kevinandbean.com, or if you want to just go directly to Born High, that's HYE.com. You can do that as well. Matt Van Gelder, thanks a lot for joining us back again on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank
we enjoyed
you.
It.
Thank you so much for putting it online, giving a preview for the KROQ.
You bet. It's awesome.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, a man who doesn't use Twitter and hates those of us who do, is going to explain Twitter etiquette coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the show.
I don't hate everyone that Twitters.
You happen, to, be, yeah,
you really. Happen to be particularly offensive.
Some people abuse the privilege.
Right.
That's also, the great Weird Al Yankovic on the program today, and more tickets for you to see No Doubt and Paramore. Please stand by to win those. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday. What's going on?
I mentioned yesterday that John Gosselin of John and Kate Plus Hate is dating a new girl.
Right. Yes.
He was dating Haley Glassman. This was the daughter of the plastic surgeon who gave his soon-to-be ex-wife Kate her tummy tuck.
Wasn't there rumors about him getting engaged to her?
Yeah, he said he was in love with her, and he wanted to spend the rest of his life with a 22-year-old. Well, yesterday I mentioned that he had been seen dating someone else, another Kate, named Kate Major, private eye, who was a reporter for Star Magazine. And people were speculating maybe they were just doing a story together, maybe it was an interview, maybe they're just friends. Apparently they are dating, and we got the confirmation from John's good buddy, Michael Lohan. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, that's because it is the dad of Lindsay Lohan.
They're friends?
How did they ever?
They are buddies. There's a brain trust, huh?
Ew. How did they ever become friends?
Well, there's a douchebag club. And apparently they met at a meeting on Long Island. That's where the two of them met, at the annual douchebag convention.
Wow.
So
the paid membership and
Michael
get
Lohan,
cards and handshakes
and secret handshake.
Wow.
Michael Lohan said, John is a friend. He's a great guy. He needed a place to get away, and my doors were open to him and Kate Major. John and Kate Major are good friends of mine. She's with him now at my house. Kate's like a daughter to me.
Ooh.
Ugh. When she needed a place, my doors were open. So apparently, John and Kate 2.0 are staying at Michael Lohan's house on Long Island. That's where they're currently.
Well, they're quasi-celebrities. They're in the news, so that gives Michael Lohan a chance to glom onto that and also get some publicity. So, of course, he would invite them in.
No word on what happened with Haley Glassman. But people are speculating that she, like us, is tired of seeing John Gosselin all the time. So she's going someplace else. Meanwhile, what's up with Amy Winehouse?
Aw.
Looks like Amy has decided to develop her own signature fragrance.
Oh no!
Would you like to smell like Amy Winehouse?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, Amy Winehouse working on a new perfume with which will carry her name. Now, experts don't necessarily believe it'll be the easiest product to market, the Amy Winehouse scent, because apparently most women don't want to smell like the scent, which is, according to insiders, a combination of cigarettes, calamari, and sour milk.
Oh, God.
Well, sounds sexy.
Yeah.
I do not want to smell like Amy Winehouse. No.
She was smelly.
That's the best.
Let's cleanse our palate from that Amy Winehouse story with a Katy Perry story, shall we?
Okay.
Now you're getting somewhere.
Now we're talking.
Katy Perry says when she works out, people are asking how she stays in such great shape. I don't know if you've seen the recent bikini photos of Katy Perry on vacation. She apparently likes to jump rope. That's her key. She jumps rope. In the nude.
Oh. No.
No, I made the last part up.
Where's the pinhole camera for that?
I made that last part up. But she does like to jump rope. And she says it keeps her in top physical condition.
Can she kick field goals?
Yes, she can. 50-yarders.
So that if she didn't, though, she would pay up on the bet,
she
right?
Would probably jump rope,
she would jump rope
in a tank top and not go, eh, get all spazzy and...
Nice melons.
And chintz out on it.
She's so saying. Awesome, Katy Perry, by the way.
She is very awesome.
She just taped an MTV Unplugged this week, which I didn't even know that show was back, but...
I'd like to plug her.
Back in.
Back in. After she's unplugged.
I don't
know. You're making a musical reference.
Yes, that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
I don't have any time. Oh, I got so many good stories. I got a Quentin Tarantino story. I've got the top 10 most addictive shows on television list.
Ooh,
so many good things. All right, I'm going to just have to wait. You have to come back in an hour.
All right.
Look, I don't blame you if you tune out when Kevin Bean starts talking.
How dare you?
But in an hour, I'll be giving you some really good stuff. So come on back. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Woody Harrelson from Cheers and from Pot.
is 48 years old today. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode also turns 48. Slash of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 44. Philip Seymour Hoffman, who, if you haven't seen Doubt yet, it's available on DVD right now, and you got to pick it up. Him and Meryl Streep just giving you an acting class right there. He's 42. Stephanie Seymour, the supermodel, is 41. Charisma Carpenter celebrates her 39th birthday. Marlon Wayans of the seemingly endless Wayans brothers is 37. Omar Epps, coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers and also a doctor on House, is 36. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is 29. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, is 20. And legendary radio personality Don Imus celebrates his 69th birthday today. Don happens to be in the studio with us today. Don, how are you going to celebrate your birthday?
I'm very happy to go to Imus Ranch. Talk about the Big and Rich album. Available on Amazon.com, all over. Price is very reasonable, considering how much of my music and exciting stuff you're going to get for that on the Imus Ranch.
Okay.
Happy to talk to the kids and my beautiful wife.
I couldn't be more sorry I asked.
Maybe have to take a nap or drink some fine whiskey.
All right.
Country Creek.
Don, thank you so much.
Knob Creek, one of my favorite whiskeys. Drink down the banana.
All right, Don.
45 minutes about the hour. We're going to do sports next.
Okay, great. Thank you, Don. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So, Weird Al, you're the best person in the world ever.
Weird Al,
thank you for
yet.
Coming back onto the Kevin and
Weird Al, not here yet.
No.
Where the hell is Weird? I thought we had Weird.
He won't be here, but
8:30.
Not yet.
It's been 8:30 since we booked him a week ago. 8:30.
I can't. I'm sorry. I can't wait. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget this hour, again, your chance to win tickets to see No Doubt and Paramore. And each person that does is qualified for the grand prize drawing that we will do tomorrow at this time to go see No Doubt in Honolulu. You're also eligible for the end of summer drawing for the free smart car and a year's supply of Arco gas. So stick around. Your chance to qualify coming right up.
So Twitter's the latest big fad.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody Twitters. Everybody has to have the most followers that they can possibly get. They judge their success by the number of followers, blah, 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 blah.
Right. And for folks who don't know what it is, you haven't heard, it basically is just a way to mass text. It's essentially like sending a text to 50 people, 100 people, 10,000 people, depending on how many followers you have.
But like all things that are relatively new, it takes a while for people to learn what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Sure.
And, for example, I'll tell you a little story about my man Bean. We had Paramore in the studio, and Haley was not feeling so well, and she had Twittered about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having a conversation, and Bean says, just out of the blue, without saying I read your Twitter or anything about her Twitter, oh, I hope somebody in this room doesn't throw up. And everybody started, like, looking around and saying, what does that mean? And Haley kind of knew that she had Twittered about it, but
it Bean took her a minute to...
Yeah, because Bean didn't make any reference about reading her Twitter or anything, so she would look totally confused and finally said, yeah, I guess. And I'm saying that's not good Twitter etiquette. I'm saying if you want to bring it up, don't bring it up like you're her friend and you talk to her that day. You have to at least preface it by saying, I read your Twitter. Don't
Plus,
you
give them that reference, because they are not for one second thinking that that's what you're referring to.
Well, minutes before, she had tweeted that she was nauseous and thought she was going to vomit on us.
Right.
So it was pretty – it wasn't like I was making a callback to something that I read a year ago.
Right.
I mean, it was
but
pretty
you were,
current.
It was – I'm not saying it wasn't current. I'm saying you have to give her some sort of frame of reference, because while she tweeted it, she doesn't know that you read it and that's why you're bringing it up.
Right.
Mm. That's not good Twitter etiquette. You've done that with three or four guests in the last week.
And had the same result.
Make There's some comment about their Twitter.
Pause.
Yes. And then the celebrity goes, what? Oh, is he talking about? And then they're confused by it.
Yeah.
Weird Al did online traffic school last night. Maybe I'll bring that up when we talk to him next
When
hour.
You bring it up, can you say, hey, I read your tweet about doing blah, blah, blah. How about that?
Just Give I'm it just, a shot. See
I'm just
happens.
Saying put it in some kind of context rather than I happen to know just out of the blue that Haley's not feeling so well.
All right. What else you got?
Well, I have Kevin Spacey on David Letterman. Kevin Spacey was trying to explain Twitter and the Twitter etiquette.
Okay.
To David Letterman, who I think plays dumb a lot more than he is, but he was trying to figure it out.
There is a Twitter etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like it when you capitalize.
Why not?
Because they think you're yelling at them. And they also don't like the exclamation point. If you overuse that, and sometimes humor gets really lost.
Right.
Like John Stamos. You know John Stamos?
Yes.
I sent him a tweet that said, John, have you already managed to block yourself? Because you can block people if you don't want to have them follow you.
I see.
And literally within an hour, thousands of people saying, oh, be kind to John. Come on. He's new on Twitter. And it's like, I was making a joke with a friend of mine. Calm down, you tweets.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
So Letterman, Letterman, as usual, takes that angle on it. I don't know if you heard this guy, but I'm sure this girl feels very, very lucky.
Drew, how does this actually go down? Because you're supposed to get down on one knee, usually in front of the person you're proposing to. Were you guys together? How did this work?
No, basically, I've been doing some things on Twitter lately in regards to fighting cancer, and I thought I could slip it into the stream and have a moment with her, and, well...
It worked!
It worked, and, yeah, so people got a kick out of it.
Yeah, I don't think so. Here's the thing about that. Twitter shouldn't replace the personal contact of asking a woman to marry you, I don't think.
God,
I
no.
thought when he talked about slipping it into the stream that it was some sort of bizarre sex act. That was my fear, first of all. Second of all, personal contact. Didn't I tell you a couple days ago that Yasmin tweeted Dave while they were in bed together to turn off the TV?
Right, but she did that to be funny. You don't propose to a woman on Twitter.
It doesn't – I mean – it's if you're looking for an interesting story, I guess it's interesting, but all of your friends will think that your fiancé is a douchebag.
Right.
Totally. If that's what you're looking for.
That's
poor girl.
Worst story ever.
That girl is going to be asked for the rest of her life if, you know, or however long this relationship lasts, how did he propose? And she's going to have to make up something else.
Yeah.
Because if she says he proposed on Twitter, they're going to go, what?
And I accepted. So, that's just lame.
Listen, Twitter has its uses. It can be fun. You can put up pictures. You can put up stuff you're doing if you use it in an interesting way. You know, if you're being, maybe he shouldn't.
Just steer clear.
Maybe. That's all I'm saying. Perhaps.
It's not for you.
If you're Perez Hilton and let's say you're Perez Hilton and you think you got beaten up by the Black Eyed Peas.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you thought that happened.
Okay.
Instead of tweeting, I have an emergency, somebody should call the police. Instead of tweeting that, I don't know, call the police.
Oh, how lame. Really?
Didn't call the police, but tweeted, I need help. Will someone please call the police?
Fuck you both.
Well, he's making a good point, though. I mean, it does seem like that's Twitter abuse.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So we need some kind of Twitter etiquette or Twitticate or whatever it is we want to call it.
I like that.
Twitter etiquette. Things that are acceptable, things that are not acceptable. I'm suggesting that if you read something in someone's tweet, you got to bring it up in the conversation. You can't just talk about that thing.
Reference it like you just...
Okay.
I'm suggesting that you can't really replace the basic human contact and the eye-to-eye, will you spend the rest of your life with me, proposals, perhaps not the best thing for Twitter.
Yeah.
That's all.
It doesn't seem like that's taking it very seriously, that's
correct.
For sure.
And I'm also suggesting, and I know I'm not the first one, but when I was at the Harry Potter movie, which I loved, the woman next to me, sitting in the seat next to me, was Twittering throughout the whole movie. The whole movie. And I was guessing that she was telling somebody what was going on or something. I don't know.
Are you kidding?
No.
That's not okay.
So I'm saying Twitter's fine as long as you know how to use it. But there is Twitter abuse, and those people need to the death penalty.
That is...
Wow. Okay.
Right? Is that too strong?
No.
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 That's not too strong.
No.
Death penalty, I think. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So we are looking for people who have who would like to share their stories and have addendums to Twitter etiquette.
Yes.
What they consider to be acceptable and not acceptable.
If you have something to add to Twitter etiquette, let's face it, it can be used in a good way. It can be used in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are bad. So if something has been driving you crazy about it and you'd like to get it off your chest, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. And we will talk to you next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about Twitticate here this morning. Things that you should and should not do on the Twitter is the topic on the table. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to get right to your calls in one moment. Kevin, during the song there, you thought of something else. Another complaint you have about the Twitterverse.
Well, so far we have don't use it instead of calling 911. Because that's just
Perez.
Dumb, Perez Hilton. Don't use it to propose to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, come on. It has its uses. That's not one of them.
Yeah.
Don't talk to people like you're a friend of theirs just because you read that they were sick that morning without bringing up the fact that you read their Twitter. And here's one that I really is drives me crazy, and this is the King of Mexico. Don't use Twitter as a backup for your argument, which Dave does all the time. He's like, I didn't like that movie, and everyone on Twitter agrees with me. He does that all the time.
The Twitterverse?
The people that tend to follow you probably think like you. It's not like it's an independent scientific report that you read. These are your friends that go, I guess so.
Yeah.
You can't use that as backup.
But it must be true, Kevin, if it's on Wikipedia. Remember, it's the same argument.
Can't use it as backup for an argument. He does that all the time. All the my Twitterverse, they agree with me.
The one thing I do as we prepare to go to your calls, the one thing I do like is if your tweets are boring, like if you're the type of person who tweets in the supermarket or going to the gym, you're gone. You're out. I block you, and then I don't ever have to read you again. And I think those are the kinds of tweets that turned a lot of people off to Twitter in the beginning because there was a lot of that going on right. When the thing first started. Is too much minutia about if you're going to tweet, have something to say. And I know that sounds crazy coming
is
from
Bean
me.
Bean saying those
yes.
words?
Yes.
But compared to going to the gym, I mean, seriously, that's not a tweet. That's my wow. complaint if I could add anything to Twitticket.
If Bean finds your tweet boring, that's unbelievable. Yeah, but here's the thing about Twitter. It's neither good nor bad. It's how you use it.
Exactly.
And people who are super, super boring and have minutiae that no one cares about, and then this makes them feel important because they can tell you that they're going to the store.
Because I imagine most people's lives most of the time is just that really boring stuff.
Of course.
Right?
That's everyone.
That's it.
That's everyone.
Yeah.
You know, nobody needs to know everything that you're doing. Dave, the King of Mexico, every time he thinks or eats food. Every single time. I follow him because he's bad.
Yeah, and it's not like there's a requirement that you have to tweet every 30 minutes, whether you've
right.
got something interesting. It's okay to take a day off and not tweet at all if there's nothing going on or you don't have anything to contribute.
All right, let's say hi to Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi, Beth.
What are your complaints? What are Twitter etiquette?
Basically, don't use Twitter to pick a fight or to talk crap.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot, too.
Yeah, just do it in real life.
Yeah.
Because it's cowardly.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
Perez Hilton.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know, right? Thank you for the call. That's a great
point.
Rule.
Yeah.
If you can't pick a fight in person, just shut your
Let
tweeter.
It go. Shut your tweeter.
You know what I mean? All right, let's go to Tatiana. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You have to warn people when you're going to mass tweet. I know me and my friends tweet to get people knowledgeable about certain stuff. But I have to warn my friends because they get device updates, and if not, they're going to get like 50 messages in an hour. So I have to warn them, hey, turn off your device updates because I'm going to be tweeting a lot.
Now, what are the circumstances that you have to tweet 50 times in an hour? What's going on?
Well, me and my friends on Mondays, we do this thing called Chuck Me Mondays where we try to get people to watch the show Chuck on Mondays.
Oh, okay. So and there's an actual reason for doing it.
Yeah. And so I have to warn like some of my regular my friends that aren't like big on Twitter, hey, turn off your device updates because today all I'm going to be doing is tweeting about Chuck.
See, that's considerate.
Well, that's nice, yeah.
That's good Twitter etiquette, is that you warn them that what
yeah,
you're going to be...
I learned because I didn't do that in the beginning, and then I had friends being like, hey, shut the hell up.
Yeah, you're driving people crazy.
Okay, all right. Thank you for the call. By the way, let's add Tatiana to the list of the name of which all girls are hot that are named Tatiana. That has been my experience. I don't know if you guys have seen that as well, but it's
I
true.
I believe that is a hot name.
I yes. would not
yeah.
argue that.
Yeah. Let's go to Katie, who has a suggestion. Hey, Katie.
Hi.
Twitter etiquette.
Oh, my God. I hate it when people write over 140 characters.
Meaning their tweet gets cut off?
No, their Twitter is over 140, so they write six Twitters in a row. The point of it is to be one
sure.
one post of 140 characters.
If you're going to write a 1,000-word essay, you
yeah.
know, maybe text or maybe email, really. Probably
or
email.
Get a blog.
Or get a blog.
Get a blog. You know, go on WordPress. Do something like that. Don't Twitter about it. I don't, you know, link it at least. Like, I don't know.
There is a guy right now who has written a book about the French Revolution, and he is tweeting the entire book.
That is annoying.
What an annoyer.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yes, every word. He is tweeting the one Twitter at a time. He is publishing his book on the internet for people who would like to receive it that way.
Well,
I can't.
Want
yeah,
to
who wants
it that
to
way?
F that guy?
I can't imagine anything worse, but that's what he's doing. And I think, seriously, I think the caller needs to sign up for that tweet.
Where is he in the book, Bean?
I don't know. I'm not,
I'm not following him.
Oh,
please. Thank you for the call. All right, let's take one more. This is AJ. Hi.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
I can't stand it when people use Twitter to text each other as a replacement of text messages.
Meaning they send it out to everyone when they're just trying to talk to one person.
Yeah, they're talking to each other, and they're doing it via Twitter, and you get like a million messages about their conversation.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. That's an excellent point. There are some things that are best made private.
Yeah, and like Bean's like the perfect candidate. Like Twitter should just be like random interesting facts that no really carries about.
No, Bean is not the perfect
thank
candidate.
Thank you, AJ.
Bean is an abuser.
I appreciate that.
Bean is an abuser and deserves the death penalty.
Oh!
Thank, is that too much?
No.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Santiago Morales, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, just picked up tickets to go see No Doubt with Paramore, one of the great double bills of the summer concert season. He is also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do this hour tomorrow to send someone, maybe Santiago, to see the band in Hawaii. How about that? Free trip to Hawaii on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is also going to be broadcasting live from Comic-Con, thanks to our friends at Wired.com. He'll be at the Wired Cafe tomorrow with lots of special guests live from San Diego. Ralph Garman all morning tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The state of California is only $26.3 billion in debt.
Oh, we can make that up in a year.
That's all?
Is that all?
So I forgot to add one last thing to the Twitter etiquette. Don't try to raise that via Twitter.
The governor's knife-wielding tweet comes amid fallout over the state budget deal and the funding cuts. So what's the message?
Holding a giant knife with a smirk on his face, Governor Schwarzenegger jokes about autographing state cars slated for the auction block as a way to raise money for cash-strapped California.
We talked about making some cuts in the budget, getting rid of some of the state cars, and then all of a sudden you come up with the great ideas. Why not just sign the car, since you're a celebrity governor, sign the cars and sell it for more money. That's exactly what we're going to do.
The 27-second video clip was posted on Schwarzenegger's Twitter page at a time when the governor and lawmakers struggle to erase the state's $26 billion deficit.
$7.3 billion in education cuts, kindergarten through college, teachers are getting laid off, and he wants to talk about signing cars at an auction. Why doesn't he sign their pink slip?
Love your ideas. Give me more of those ideas. We need it.
Is there anything that he can do to redeem himself before his governorship ends?
Quit now, like Sarah Palin did.
Oh, wow. Does that hurt? Well, at least for now, the governor of the great state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Arnold.
Kevin and Bean, how are you?
Did you hear what that dude just said? The best thing you could do is resign like Sarah Palin.
That's crazy. It's not going to happen.
What is that music?
We're having a sale. Everything must go.
Yeah.
State cars, state furniture, everything. I'll be autographing it and selling it.
But Arnold,
raising money for California.
But Arnold, it's $26 billion. You can't raise that by signing a car.
I know. That's why it's going to be a three-day weekend here. That's crazy, Arnold. Well, slashing prices.
Speaking of the three-day weekends, I guess most of your state employees are having to take 3 days off a month without pay. That's one of the ways that you're trying to save money.
Right, I'm slashing their work week. I'm slashing their pay. Their pay. They get 14% pay cut.
Well, why do you sound happy about that? That's terrible.
Because everything must go.
Okay.
I'm stocking them deep and selling them cheap.
Look, I understand that maybe you could make...
If you live in California, you're insane.
I understand that maybe there's money to be made in selling off state parks and things like that. I mean, huge real estate holdings. Yeah, maybe you can make a couple of bucks. But selling office chairs that you signed, the dude on the tape was right. You can't make any cash doing that, Governor.
I've been selling office chairs, state cars, desks, pencils, state elephants.
Was that an elephant?
Yes. Elephant rides for the kids. Come on down.
Does California have elephants?
Elephant rides for the kids. Come on down and get a balloon.
Okay.
Oh, I'm slicing public school funding, university funding,
right.
College funding,
right.
State employees, 14% pay cut.
Wow.
Prison system, the budget slashed $1 billion. I'm going to sell San Quentin State Prison. I'm going to sell a Coliseum. Everything must go. Just make me an offer.
Wow. Now, Governor, do I understand correctly that if I don't buy from you, we both lose?
We both lose money. Then suck them deep and sell them cheap.
What was that?
Weekend blowout. It's a blowout sale.
Wow. I'm kind of getting excited now by the possibility of the sale.
Come on down. I'm serving up free California condor sandwiches.
Oh, what? No, no, wait a minute.
Everything must go.
What was that? Hello?
Governor?
I've been signing some dynamite.
Oh. Less than an hour from Weird Al Yankovic on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, if I had time machine, if I could just go forward 45 minutes, I would do it right now.
Why do you have to put your stink all over everything? Because I love Weird.
That's why. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on that's not Weird Al related, Ralph?
Well, interesting list released today of the top 10 most addictive shows in TV history.
Okay.
People talking about the shows that they absolutely, positively can't miss. It's like an addiction. They have to tune in week after week. Don't have an option.
Okay. There are some shows that you get so caught up in, when the episode ends, you just can't wait for next week so you can see it again.
Yes. There are those shows, and these are them.
Okay. So you're saying this is a list of TV shows that people can't stand to miss.
Sweet Jesus.
That's the point?
Let me tweet you what I mean.
Okay.
Number 10, Sex in the City.
Nope.
Yes.
Why?
Oh, absolutely.
For the fans of that show, it was like crack for them.
Yeah.
And I, speaking as a man who married one of them, I can attest to that.
I thought every episode was the same on that show.
No.
It is, but they are addicted to it.
It killed me when every episode ended.
Number 9, The Sopranos.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
That's very true.
We were all addicted to that week after week. Number 8, Prison Break.
Yeah.
Just for the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
Until they broke out. Then it was Prison Broke.
Then it was Prison Run.
Yeah.
I don't know.
CSI. There are the diehard CSI fans. They're just, okay. They can't get enough of it. Number 6, Doctor Who. Now, you may not know this show.
Hey!
Don't.
No, it's WHO. It's a sci-fi show from England, which has been around for like 40 years. But the fans of that show are like crack whores.
Okay.
Can't get enough of it. Number 5, The Wire.
Oh,
people
yes.
People addicted to The Wire week after week.
Yeah.
Number 4, Heroes on the list.
Makes sense because it was an ongoing storyline, but again, a little earlier.
Number 3, Friends.
Nope.
Apparently, Friends fans watched it like a religion.
No.
No, you weren't Friends fans, but those who were apparently were addicted.
I did love that show.
It was a good, funny show, but it's addicting.
Number 2, Lost.
Sure.
Now for TV addicts. And the number 1, what do you think the most addictive show on television is, according to this survey?
Well, are you ready for the big one?
Dallas.
3,000 people were polled. You know how painful that can be. 3,000 people were polled. What did they say the number 1 most addictive show on television is? 19% of the vote.
Television history.
Yeah, but this is a show that's ongoing, so I'll cut it down.
An ongoing show.
I mean, obviously, Batman would be the most addictive show of all time.
Well, I was thinking The Hills, but if you're talking about a show that's on now.
Law and Order?
Oh, 24. 24.
That's the
24.
That's a great
guess. Yeah. You can't get addicted to Law and Order because it's like being force-fed. You can't get away from it to know whether you want to see it or
not
again.
True.
Because it's on every channel, every day, all day long.
They make you eat every hour, so you're not hungry ever.
Exactly. How do you know if you ever get hungry? Because you're constantly eating.
Yeah, 24 makes sense.
Yeah.
That's good.
Number one addictive show. Quentin Tarantino is releasing a rare David Bowie record this week.
What?
It is a single. The single version of a song called Cat People. Putting Out Fire. Do you remember that song?
I do remember
Putting Out
song,
Fire with Gasoline. One of my favorite Bowie songs.
No.
Here's a little taste of it if you don't remember it.
Well, it's been so long. Well, I've been putting out the fire with gasoline. Putting out the fire with gasoline.
Why would
he? Apparently it's in his Inglourious Bastards movie on the soundtrack.
Oh, I see.
He's using that as, Quentin loves using modern pop music in his movies. Oh, this is a World War II movie, so I think it's a hard fit. But apparently it's on the soundtrack, and Bowie recorded a single version of this for the movie Cat People, then did a different version for one of his albums, but the single version has never been released.
Okay.
So Quentin Tarantino is re-releasing it for people who do advance pre-orders for the film soundtrack Inglourious Basterds. So if you get that, you get the rare David Bowie vinyl pressing of his single version of the Cat People Putting Out Fire song.
The David Bowie song.
Bowie and Quentin Tarantino teaming up to re-release this very rare Bowie song.
All right.
Bowie apparently very grateful that Quentin's re-releasing it.
Yeah.
And he released this statement earlier today.
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino. Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
That's nice. What else you got?
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino. Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
Very,
thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
Releasing it.
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
Got the message.
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino. Thank you, Quentin Tarantino. Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
Thanking him for his.
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
All right. Was he thankful at all?
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
He's happy that he's here.
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino. Okay. Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
Will you stop it with
thank
that?
Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
Very
message
happy.
Message received.
Very happy, apparently. Very happy.
Seems very
happy. I know, right?
Denzel Washington was supposed to do that movie, The Unstoppable, with Chris Pine from Star Trek, about two train engineers, a veteran and a newbie, a rookie engineer.
Which one was unstoppable?
To jump aboard a train that's unstoppable, loaded with toxic, dangerous chemicals.
The train is unstoppable.
The train is unstoppable.
Right. Didn't he pull out, though?
He did. He pulled out. Okay. Quit the show because apparently the budget was cut. Fox cut the budget for the film. And so they went to Quentin and director Tony Scott and said, look, we're going to have to shave a few million bucks off your price tag if you don't
Denzel.
Mind.
Denzel. You mean Denzel. You said Quentin.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Denzel Washington and Tony Scott. Have to shave a little off your salaries in order to make budget. And Denzel said, I don't think so.
And I'm a black guy.
So he quit. Apparently they have done some juggling with the numbers, found a few extra mil someplace to bring Denzel back to his original deal.
Really?
And now he is back on board the train movie. No pun intended. But okay. He will be doing Unstoppable with Chris Pine. So we will see the two engineers battling on this unstoppable train full of toxic waste.
Thank God.
Thank God. We finally get the veteran engineer, new engineer story.
So he had an opportunity to walk away from that movie
yeah.
and didn't.
Yeah, he might be regretting that.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
Monday to Friday train in this movie. Today's celebrity birthdays... Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, from all those Harry Potter movies. 27 different Harry Potter movies have been released.
I don't think so.
In the past 5 years. It's true. He's 20. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is 29. Omar Epps from House turns 36. Marlon Wayans of the Wayans Brothers is 37. Charisma Carpenter. I always liked her, that
yeah.
Charisma
yeah,
Carpenter.
She's awesome.
39 years old. Stephanie Seymour, supermodel, is 41. Philip Seymour Hoffman is 42. Hold on a second. Let me back up just for a moment. Charisma Carpenter is 39. Stephanie Seymour is 41. There's a trend going on in showbiz right now where older chicks are just staying hot for a long time.
It's a good trend.
It is a good trend. I think we need to recommend that.
How do we do that?
Tell women who age to stay good looking.
All right? Good luck with that.
Let's kill them. The ones that age.
Wow.
What is wrong with
that? Wow.
Too much?
Trying to put a positive spin on today's news, and here
right,
you come with your attitude.
All right. We heard it the first time.
Okay. Philip Seymour Hoffman is 42. He is a good-looking guy, too. That Philip Seymour Hoffman. Oh, yeah, good actor.
Not really.
Slash of Velvet Revolver is 44. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode turns 48. Woody Harrelson celebrates his 48th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Delighted to announce Weird Al Yankovic on the phone, ready to join us.
Half
to talk about
now.
His event
not,
at the
Not
Orange.
For a half hour. Not for a half hour.
Can't.
Being,
make it.
By the way, you might think he's kidding. He is obsessed with Weird Al.
This is well, not an exaggeration.
He's the best person in the whole world ever. That's why.
Out
all
of
right.
all of the celebrities in the world, I do believe that Bean has said on many, many opportunities, this is in his top three.
Yes.
Is it? Is that right, Bean?
That is accurate.
Out of
yes.
everyone.
And it's quite the 1-2-3 punch for me this week because yesterday we had comedian actor Rhys Darby, who plays Murray on Flight of the Conchords, who's my favorite actor on television. He's the best character of any TV show right now. And tomorrow, Adam West is going to be on with us. I mean, that's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that I can get behind.
Let me tell you a little something about having kids. You okay. are a tough guy and you say you'll never do this, you'll never do that. I have kids. When they want to watch a movie that makes them happy, I would do anything for them.
Really?
Anything. And some of the movies that they like to watch or TV shows, not really my taste. Some of them, perhaps the opposite of my taste.
Okay.
But you do it because you love them, and if it brings a smile to their face, you're happy. This is Princess Protection Program. That's the name of the movie that's out. And it stars Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato.
Those are Disney stars, right?
Yes. Both underage. So, this is a different story now. We had Seth Green and Breckin Meyer in.
Yes.
The other day. And we were off the air during the commercials or during the records. And we were talking about, I think it was Demi Lovato because she has a CD out.
It was about her. Yeah.
And I said, Bean, did you already download her CD from iTunes? Because he follows her Twitter, by the way.
Wow.
Bean follows her Twitter.
Wow. Really?
So he said, no, I'm going to go out and buy a hard copy of it this afternoon. you know, at the store, but I am going to get it. And then Seth Green said, have you seen the Princess Protection Program?
And which I've never even heard of.
Right, I know, because it's a Disney.
Kids.
Yeah. And Bean said, it's on my TiVo, but I haven't watched it yet. Now,
how do you TiVo?
I would never, unless I had kids that wanted to watch it, it wouldn't even be on my radar screen to know to TiVo it.
I see some of those shows for a couple of minutes because my TiVo, you know, it can just automatically fill up space when it's not completely
right.
full. And for some reason, it keeps TiVoing these Disney shows. So I'll turn on the TV and they're on. And I'll watch for a minute and think, wow, is that the worst show I've
that's
ever
sure
seen.
That's sure not for me.
Oh, my God. That's right? A terrible show.
Because it's for 11-year-old girls.
Yeah.
That's why.
Terrible acting, too, by the way. They're just awful.
So Bean says, I have it on my TiVo. I haven't watched it yet, was his defense, but
he actively programs his TiVo to record those.
Yes.
In my defense, it was a big event having Selena and Demi in the same movie, though. I mean,
you
it was kind of an event.
It was a big event for what age girl? 10?
Well,
11?
I may be slightly
12?
Out of
12 is even pushing it.
I may be slightly out of the target demo, but I'm telling you, some of these Disney, look, I'm not claiming that they're great. I'm not claiming that they're art. I'm just saying that sometimes they're fun.
That you on purpose recorded the Princess Protection Program? That you?
Yes, I did. But listen, I watched all the High School Musical movies and I thought they were fun. I watched Camp Rock and I thought that was fun. I mean, every once in a while, it's just something that's kind of different and kind of fun.
You know what? I'm going to say that I get the High School Musical stuff way more than I get Princess Protection Program.
I'm going to say no.
Because I think there was a larger age group that appealed to.
Right, but it ended at about 15. Right?
Excuse me.
15-year-old girl.
Excuse me. I'm Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC.
Oh, this isn't necessary
hey,
at all,
Chris.
Come on.
Bean, I've got some transcripts here of some chats you've had in some of the chat rooms.
Chris,
you certainly don't.
Is he at your house, Bean? What's going on with
this? Yes, right here in Bean's studio.
Right from the window.
We've got cameras here. I hope you don't mind. We're doing a little special for Dateline NBC. Called
Chris,
the creepiest of the creepy.
Yeah.
This isn't a sex thing or a porn thing. It's a G-rated Disney movie.
Oh, I see. You just wanted to help
the
these
family.
Girls that you talked to in the chat room.
Well, I didn't.
Here
talk
you are
to
under the name of Bottle of Formula.
No.
Would you like to come and see my puppies?
No.
I've got three little puppies, and I bet they would just love you.
I didn't like that to anybody. That's not true.
Do you like doggy style?
Nope. That didn't happen.
There's another chat room where he calls himself the Pacifier 11. I have a clown on top of my house. Would you like to come and see it? Come visit Clown Town.
Do you?
You can play with my honker.
Do you have a clown on your house?
Well, you guys know that I do, but I'm not using it to try to meet chicks, and particularly never underage chicks.
Here's a Bean in another chat room. Wants some Candy 65. I have lots of animals in my house. It's like a petting zoo.
Oh,
do you like petting?
Oh, no.
Bean.
What do you have to say for yourself, Bean?
This is unfortunate timing.
Look, this is awkward for me because I watch your Dateline NBC specials, Chris, and I know that everyone says, oh, that wasn't me. Oh, you've got the wrong guy, and usually they're lying. But I'm telling you, you've got the wrong guy, and it wasn't me.
You're free to go. You're free to go. Just go out the front door there. You can leave.
But you've got the police.
We've
out
had
there
our conversation. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when you get out there.
I'm going to get stun gunned when I walk out my front door, though. I don't want that.
No, you're free to go.
Look, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, they're both just cute, like fun entertainers. That's all. They sing, they dance, they act.
How old are they?
They're 15, 15, 16, something like that.
15.
I bet you thought they were 21, didn't you, Bean?
I watch a little Hannah Montana from time to time, and it's just fun. That's all it is.
Horrible.
It's not creepy.
It's not creepy at all. When I think of Bean, I do think fun.
There's another chat room name Bean goes under, Handy Montana.
No, come on. Chris.
Would you like to see the big country in my pants, he writes.
Oh, that's not me. Got the wrong guy.
This is just ugly. Wow. Creepy. All right, you're free to go, Bean.
Yeah, but now I don't want to go because I'm going to get teased.
Don't tase me, bro.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Another reminder, Ralph Garman broadcasting live from San Diego at the Comic-Con. Boy, it's going to be huge, huge, huge again this year. You know, they're coming out and showing parts of Iron Man 2 and so many of the other big movies that are unveiling in the next couple of years. And Ralph's going to be there to see it with special guests broadcasting live from the Wired Cafe from Wired.com. That'll be tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla joins us tomorrow, too. Also, Adam West and our friend Adam Sessler from G4. All of that right here tomorrow.
Right now, it's time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. There's an answering machine set up for your thoughts 24 hours a day about our show or other things. We did bring up the weird reality of TV shows about cooking that seem to be trying to act tough. A lot of yelling going on, a lot of angry people in the cooking shows. And we couldn't
be the baking shows.
Yeah, the Cake Boss, the Ace of Cakes, and this
and
guy.
Gordon Ramsay screaming at everybody, too, just about making a souffle.
You're right.
House kitchen rules. You need to get up on that.
I'd rather not get up on that, if you don't mind. This next call could have been about, I don't know, three, four things a day.
Shut up, Bean. I want to smack the out of you, asshole.
Again, some context is needed. If there's something specific you're complaining about, we need to know what it is, because there's no way to tell.
Put up a video on the website today of Miss Cleo claiming that she could kick a 50-yard field goal, so we went out to a field and gave her four chances at 25.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it may have been 30. And she missed all four, then she doubled her nothing, so she missed eight in a row. And then she was supposed to do 50 seconds of jumping jacks in a bikini top. She did 3 seconds and quit.
Miss Cleo, you owe us some jumping jacks, you bitch. Sorry.
Wow.
It really was a total fail on every level. She was mouthing off. She couldn't produce the kick that she promised, even though you couldn't have made it any simpler for her.
Right.
Like, making her kick at half the distance. And then she didn't even put on a bikini, and she did 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, fail, right?
Fail. Yeah. Although while we were there, I did get hit in the balls with the football. That happened. You can see that.
So it was still a successful day.
As well. We were talking about movies that you don't like that it seems like everybody else does. Everybody else finds funny, but for some reason you don't.
What? Miss Cleo doesn't like Office Space? Well, at least there is an explanation for it. Big boob, small brain.
Yeah.
She
not
loves
Miss Cleo's day.
She loves that song, by the way.
Yep.
Loves it. This dude blows.
The Hangover.
Wow.
The Hangover. What does it take to impress people these days with a comedy? People love our music, I'll tell you that.
Hey, guys, you know, I really like that Say Hey, I Love You song.
I say hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back on the round the way.
So much so that I was thinking maybe you can follow that up with, I don't know, Mambo Number 5. Or, you know, Rita Suave might be good. Or anything by Taco. That'd be great.
That's an excellent idea. Let's put a rock block together just for him.
I like it.
Whoa, the new Pearl Jam song is on. Again, don't forget to play it over and over and over.
Come on. Listen. If we're able to cut down on the Red Hot Chili Peppers because we have a new Pearl Jam song?
Yeah.
Seriously.
You should be happy.
It's a new song.
Yeah.
What do we have to do?
Okay, guys, you got to give me direction to Psycho Mike's front lawn because I have got to take a righteous crap. And I am in fear right now as we speak, and I'm driving on the road. So call me back.
Yeah. Well, that is the answer. You have to go to the Psycho Mike's parents' house in Pasadena to unload right in the front lawn like Mike did.
You do not want the fear. That's all we're telling
now.
This guy just has some information for us.
Okay. I like pot. I really like pot. Did that tell you I like pot?
You did, actually. That's all you told us. Lisa Mae does commercials, some of which are better than others.
Yeah.
Some of which have five mms in them.
Yeah. Lisa Mae, I just heard your new Quiznos commercial. I don't know whether to go to Quiznos or go grab a bottle of lotion.
So they're very proud of that.
See that light blinking over there? See the phone line coming into the Kevin and Bean Show? You see that little light that's flashing right there? See?
Yeah, it's actually...
Pick me up. See that right there?
Uh-huh.
When we hit that button,
we're
going to be talking to the great Weird Al.
That's
Weird
right.
Al making a return appearance
that's
on the
right.
Kevin and Bean Show. That is happening right now.
As soon as we hit that button.
Let's do it.
Weird Al will come on the air.
Touch it.
Oh, man.
I'm saying the button. I'm saying press the button so we can talk to Al. You know how I feel about Al.
Hey, Al.
Hey, how you doing?
Well,
Al!
We were doing well until Bean's enthusiasm for you overwhelmed us with the feeling of the need to take a shower.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Look, it's not... Al, is it my fault if you're the best human ever? I can't help that, right?
I certainly don't think it's your fault. I don't blame you.
Exactly.
But we are... Let me ask you a question. If a guy puts you in the top three celebrities of all time, do you or do you not question his taste?
I'd have to question it a little bit.
Okay.
Right. Well, Al,
top three pushing it.
Top five is good.
Top five is acceptable. All right. We got a bunch of stuff we need to talk to you about. First of all, I do follow the Weird Al tweet, which is Al Yankovic, and everybody should because it's very funny. Is it true that you took the online traffic school last night, Al?
I did.
Okay.
I'm hoping that this interview is going to even top that experience.
We've been talking about that, the new laws in California about the online traffic school, because Ralph on our show had to do it. And apparently you used to just be able to zip through the thing in like 2.5 minutes. You could take the quiz. But now our understanding is that almost all of them are real time experiences where it has to take you the equivalent of what you would spend in a traffic school. So was it like an 8-hour ordeal for you last night?
Gosh, it was like, I don't know, like 4 to 6 hours. It was kind of like going to a real traffic school, except you could, you know, do it in your underwear.
Right.
Isn't that unbelievable that they figured out a way to do that to make it take 4 to 6 hours? Were you just miserable?
You know, I'm in an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, so I'm not that miserable.
Well, all
right. Okay.
Where are you right now, Al?
I'm somewhere in Hawaii.
Oh, sweet deal. Right there. Wow. Okay. All right.
Easy, Bean.
Well, I'm just saying. Dude's in Hawaii. Well, way to go, right? All right. Well, we appreciate you getting up extra early for us today. Let's talk about the OC Fair. It opened July 10th. It's on until August 9th. We're talking about the Weird Al's brain exhibit. What's it all about? This is brand new. They've never done anything like this before, right?
Yeah, it's a 10-minute 3D journey through the human brain with me. It's something I've been working on with the Orange County Fair guys for several years, and it just came out. It's have you guys had a chance to see that?
No, we haven't.
It's hard to describe. There's a lot of CGI. You actually go inside the human brain and learn. It's very educational and hopefully also funny. And there's a lot of guest stars. I got a lot of my friends in the entertainment world into it. You got Tim and Eric. You got Tom Lennon. You got Patton Oswalt. You got my mother-in-law. You got Fabio, and you got Paul McCartney. So what's not to like, really?
Wow!
Wow!
How did you land a guest as big as your mother-in-law?
Well, she happened to be over that weekend.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There is a brand new brain theme song in it, and you made your first ever 3D music video. Now, is there anything that you, as a performer, have to do differently when you're making a 3D video?
Not so much. I worked with Pete Anderson, who was the director of photography for the U2 concert film.
Right. Okay.
Amazing. Now, he's done like maybe half of the 3D movies and attractions that you've seen in your life. He's like the 3D guy. So I just had to worry about making it look good in 2D, and he made sure that it was, it was the proper kind of 3D experience.
Now, Weird, we saw this story, and I thought that there was a mixture of stories. I thought the Weird Al, I figured you were going to perform. And then there's this educational thing about the brain, and then somebody said that you did it, and I was having trouble putting the two together. How did that all come about? Did you write a song first, or did somebody contact you and say, Al, you're the person to make the human brain come alive for human beings?
It was a project that came together several years ago. The Steve Beasley, who was the CEO of the Orange County Fair, was always excited about doing some kind of big project with me because we all wanted to play the Orange County Fair. When my band plays there, we always do really well, and sometimes we break the attendance records. And they wanted to do, like, the next big thing. And the idea was, well, if we do a 3D movie about the human brain, that would be pretty cool. Sure. Okay.
Now, what are your plans for the movie after the fair closes down? I mean, eventually, is this something that you're going to make available as a DVD or something, or what?
No, it's going to be the idea is it's going to be exclusive to whoever happens to be hosting Al's brain at the time, but it is going to travel. So it's starting New York City Fair.
It's a traveling
brain. The next stop is going to be the Puyallup Fair in West Washington.
So I'll get a chance to go see it in person.
There you go.
Oh, that's fantastic. Al, when you die, and, you know, we hope that it's not, we hope you got 4 or 5 years left in you, but when you die, will they take your actual brain and tour it with the exhibit? Because how 3D would that be?
I can only hope.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll have to make provisions for my will for that.
Would you consider yourself an educator now? Is that what you'd say you are?
That's part of my definition. I'm a hyphenate. I'm a singer-songwriter.
writer, director, producer, educator.
Educator. That's awesome.
Sure. Wow. All right. Next item of business. We were laughing about this earlier in the week. If you're just joining us, the great Weird Al Yankovic is on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show here. We saw that you are putting together the track listing for the Essential Weird Al, which is going to be a new hits collection. It's going to be a two CD set that's going to be out sometime soon. And we understand that that bitch-ass James Blunt is not going to let you put Your Pitiful, your parody of his You're Beautiful, on the CD. Is that for reals?
It is. You know, we approached him back in 2006 when Straight Outta Linwood was coming out. And at the time, we heard from his label, Atlantic Records, that it was too early in James's career to do a parody because they didn't want him to be like a one-hit wonder. They wanted him to establish himself a little bit more, and then maybe the parody could come out. So he thought, well, you know, 3 years have gone by. Let's check again. Maybe we'll put it on the Greatest Hits collection. Apparently, it's never the right time.
It's never going to be a good time to make fun of James Blunt? Really? And that song? Really?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because that song, I mean, you gave that song away. It's still available online for free anywhere. It's not like it's not already out there for people. You'd think that he would want the opportunity to make a little bit of the money off of it by you putting on the album.
You know, or at least show that he has a good sense of humor and, you know, get a little bit of goodwill going there. But, you know, I kind of don't get the logic there. But that was their choice.
So it's on now? Is it some kind of is it a turf war between you and James Blunt?
No, there's no turf war. But, you know, as always, if you go to weirdal.com, there's a bunch of links. There, you can just go download it for free.
I'll fight on your side against James Blunt if that's what's needed.
If you want to get an army together, we're going to go with you, right?
We will be foot soldiers.
I appreciate that, but no turf war.
See, I really thought this was particularly interesting because it's James Blunt, but also because you have such a great track record of the. I mean, Al has told us in the past that he does get the permission, and he generally has people who are thrilled to be parodied by Weird Al. I mean, they consider it now. I've really made it. It's very rare that you run into this kind of opposition with your parodies.
It kind of is, but you know, it's bound to happen. You know, once in a while.
Okay. What a bitch ass that guy is. You know?
All right, last question for you, Al, and that is I couldn't help but notice that last week was the 20th anniversary of the UHF movie being released, which has turned into really a cult favorite. I mean, it's one of those movies that a lot of people watch every time it's on VH1. Are there any plans to commemorate the anniversary? Do you have anything new in the UHF world?
Not so much. They are having an Al Fest, apparently, somewhere in Southern California on August 1st. I, again, will not be there because I'm in Hawaii, but they're having the director, Jay Levy, and Getty,
one of the other guys?
Getty Watanabe, thank you. Victoria Jackson, some of the stars from UHF coming together as part of a whole fan convention kind of thing. So they are going to honor it that way for the 20th anniversary.
Was UHF considered a big hit when it came out? Because I don't remember it much in the theaters. To me, it really kind of gained love for me watching it on TV over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. It did not do well when it first came out. It came out in the middle of the summer of 1989 amidst about 10 other major blockbusters. The critics were not kind to it. It had a very poor opening.
But over
the last 20 years, it developed kind of a major cult following, but it's now considered a cult classic, as it were.
Right, but is it a celebration of UHF if Weird Al himself is not there? That seems kind of half-hearted. That's all I'm saying.
But that's the magic of UHF and the magic of Weird Al. He doesn't even have to be there. Look, God doesn't have to show himself at church every Sunday, but the people are there because of the way they feel about God, Kevin. That's what it's like.
I see.
Nice analogy. Okay. Thank you.
If you want to learn about the brain, there's a 3D journey that's put together by Weird Al at the Orange County Fair, and then it's going to be touring fairs around the country.
Along with Al's real brain when, unfortunately, he passes away.
Correct. Keep that in mind.
All right.
July 10th through August 9th at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. And don't forget, Al's got a new 5-track EP of songs coming out on August the 25th, available through the website and through iTunes. His website is weirdal.com. Al, we love you, man. Have a great vacation. Always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Ralph Garman joins us. Time for our final Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. What the heck's going on, Ralph?
Well, you know, as a Pulitzer Prize-winning entertainment reporter, I do like to keep my finger on the pulse.
I don't think you won
of this business we call show.
Any awards, let alone a Pulitzer Prize.
It was a Wurlitzer Prize, actually. I won a jukebox. It was a jukebox.
You played the best songs
I
with
did.
Your quarters?
Yeah. So I not only like to read the news, but I like to do hard edge, cutting.
You've never done any of this.
I'm going to do an interview right now with a big showbiz celebrity.
All right.
You know him as the star of a little show called American Idol. You know, he's a multi-millionaire. He's a producer. Uh-huh. He's a huge talent. Mr. Ryan Seacrest, everyone. Mr. Ryan Seacrest on the phone.
Ralph, that was great. That was great. Did you ad-lib that?
Yeah. Was that smooth? Was that smooth?
Good.
He did that off the top of his head. He didn't even take notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, which one is that, Kevin or Bean?
That was me,
that's Kevin.
Kevin.
We're
that's
here.
Kevin. Yeah.
Hey,
Bean?
Ryan. I'm right here, dude.
Bean's
right
there.
What's going on? We understand you've got troubles.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, I really probably shouldn't do this on the air, but yesterday I got called into one of those meetings. You've had them before, right?
We had one yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what'd they tell you?
They told us we need to shut the F up.
We talked too much.
Yes.
My guys called me in, and you know, I put this thing off for weeks, right?
Yeah.
And so I do the show over at the E building. So they drove from Burbank over, and they come in, and I do that small talk for 10 minutes, and I think to myself, this is absolute hell, torture, pain. And then they said, hey, look, the ratings are great, and we have, you know, we're doing okay.
Everything, your ratings are amazing, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, they've improved since your friend was here. And all right, and so anyway,
Rick Dees. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize. It's been a while. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. So they look fine, and there was a number one next to some of them.
I know.
And then they said to me, you know, we really believe that we can hang on to this position if we keep playing the music, and if you actually play some more music and do a little bit less of what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because your listeners certainly can't get music anywhere,
no,
right?
No, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's like you can't find Pitbull anywhere else.
right.
Where
exactly.
Can you hear Lady Gaga these days?
Exactly. She's nowhere.
Right.
So
just
I
you guys.
Don't know how you, and I appreciate us having a moment of bonding here.
Sure.
But I didn't quite know how to handle it, and I was offended, and I took it personally, and I thought, okay, so what they're saying to me is, I've been getting up at 4 in the morning every day doing all these jobs plus this morning show, which I actually love to do.
Right.
I come in, and I actually put time and effort into it and try and do the best I can.
Don't exaggerate.
I'm not talented, so I have to actually try to do this. And then they say, we kind of don't want you to do so much of it.
Yeah.
Yes. Ryan, I got to tell you, we have had that meeting 1,000 times more than you.
Except for the ratings are good part that you had.
We had
Seacrest is kicking your ass. Maybe you guys should shut up and play more Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Are we making some kind of a blood bond here? If you get fired, we'll take you on, and if we get fired, you'll take us on?
I think, because what I said to Ellen before we even decided to call was, would they consider
Absolutely.
Kevin Bean and Ryan, or Ryan, Kevin, Bean? I mean, I don't know how you want to do it.
Well,
would you guys do it, like a little trifecta?
We'd take Ellen. We'd have to vote on Ryan.
In fact, we'll shoot Lisa May in the head right now on the phone. We got no problem with that.
Can't Ellen do like news?
But we also, here's the other thing, is that we'd like to be hired in place of Paula Abdul on American Idol.
I'll tell you what.
Is that cool?
Hey, Ralph, are you there?
I am, sir.
I was in a meeting yesterday and your name came up and I have a show for you.
You know, I got a call from my manager who said Ryan Seacrest Production Company would like to talk to you about a show.
Yeah, I think you're really good.
I think you're really good too, buddy.
He's not bad 100%, by the way, on
the show. What's the show? Are you guys going to ink a deal? Is it going to be a big, fat deal?
Do I have to move in with the Kardashians?
Yeah, I'm going to move in with Courtney and Chloe in Miami.
Look, the truth of the matter is, Ryan, Kevin's not exaggerating when he says we've had this conversation a million times because the bosses think that the people who listen to our respective shows don't care about us. They're not listening because they like Ryan Seacrest. They're not listening because they like Kevin Bean. They're only suffering through us to get to the songs they've heard a million times. That's the mentality of management at radio stations these days.
I mean, you guys have been doing it here longer than I have. How do you handle that? How do you deal with it?
I'm not kidding. We run. We literally leave the station before they have a chance to talk to us. On a daily basis.
Just avoid.
On a daily basis, we do the Marine crawl out the front door and head for our cars.
It's like a prison break.
Did they not just ink you guys to like a big 3-year deal?
No.
Look, here's what I don't understand, though, Ryan. You may love radio and you're good at radio, but you don't need it. You're making $15 million a year in one of your jobs. Why don't you just shove it and stop doing radio?
Well, you know, I do love it. I think actually it's fun for me, but I'd rather do it for somebody that likes me.
Yeah, well, that ain't true.
And you'd probably rather do it at not 4 o'clock in the morning,
well,
too.
That's the other thing. I don't know how you guys do this every day. How have you been getting up for so many years like this and not angry?
We don't.
First of all, we're plenty angry.
We're always angry. That's never good.
Can I tell you that, ironically, as much as we're all bonding and we're all on the same page here, we got to go. We're out of time. We got to play another song, so we have to say goodbye. We got no choice.
I got Lady Gaga Love Game right now.
Yes, so do we. That's so weird.
All right, Ryan. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Talk to you later.
See you later.
So times are tough all over. Even if you're a superstar like Seacrest, you still get the same BS meetings after the show that we do. So
number one's not enough, I guess.
It's so good to hear that somebody who's kicking our ass is getting the same talk.
He's not number one enough for them over there.
You could be more.
Our bosses could be worse.
They drove over and they said, "You're number one. We need to make some changes."
That's not enough. Whatever you're doing, it's all wrong. That whole number one thing's not working out.
Wow,
for
it's sure a good thing that he's not working here.
Yeah, can you imagine?
God. Wow.
With our numbers, the kind of crap he'd be getting?
Yeah, this is not good.
Yeah.
Tough times, guys. Tough times.
Make it quick, Ralph. We got to move on. We got this.
There you go. That was my big showbiz news.
By the way, that's Aaron for Ralph, by the way. Ralph doesn't come in unless it's a big-time guest. He had Christian Bale he brought in the showbiz beat.
Yeah.
He had Falco's drummer's ex-wife that one time. And now Seacrest. I mean, come on. He's three for three as far as I'm concerned.
Tomorrow morning, Adam West.
Oh, we can only cross our fingers and hope.
Oh, I'm going to make it happen.
Adam West is one of your special guests, Ralph. You should mention again what a cool idea you got for tomorrow.
I'll be broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con. They're expecting over 100,000 fans to descend on the Comic-Con this week.
Oh, good for you!
And it's going to be me down there broadcasting live from the Wired Cafe. Wired Magazine is setting me up at their Wired Cafe. I'll be broadcasting. We're going to talk to some people.
Yes.
Adam Sessler from G4 is going to be stopping by.
We have Gene Simmons' kid,
Nick is going to be there. He's got a comic book. He'll be talking about Family Jewels, his show he does with his dad as well. Adam West, TV's Batman, will be talking about his new project. So it'll be chock full. I can do my own show. Maybe Seacrest will hire me over there.
We'll just have to see how the fallout happens first.
That's right. Where anyone needs to go. After today's show,
They're not happy with him.
Yeah, really.
And his ratings.
I know.
You know they're going to say to us, Mr. Weatherby's going to pull us in and go, yeah, I guess it was all right that you had Ryan on. Couldn't you have done that same conversation in 60 seconds, though?
And then squeezed in Pitbull.
Right, exactly.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I want the showbiz beat.
Hey, don't forget, this afternoon, Kevin Amin's Cinco de la Tarde brought to you commercial-free from Warner Brothers Pictures called Orphan. I hear there's something wrong with Esther, you guys. Orphan is in theaters everywhere. That is tomorrow. We'll see you at 5.
There's a story that we heard this morning that I'm really having a lot of trouble believing, and that is that Amy Winehouse has been approached to put out a perfume under her name. You know, this is the big thing that all the celebrities are doing, your Beyoncés and your Jennifer Lopez. They've all got scents in the stores that you can buy, and some of them, Kevin, are making huge dollars off of it.
Some of them make literally hundreds of millions of dollars off of these
perfumes. I didn't know that.
Yes, it's ridiculous how much they can make.
No kidding.
Well, now that apparently Amy is returned from the Caribbean, is back in England, she is healthy and looking for ways to make some money, and I guess perfume is one of the things they're talking about, so we thought, let's get an update on this, because we got a pretty good relationship with Miss Winehouse, and she joins us now on the Kevin Bean Cinco de la Tarde show on K-Rock.
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for Amy Winehouse, please.
Oh, she's not here. Now what are you going to f***ing do? Call back later, mother.
That's the danger of asking, huh, Kevin?
Oh, so this is Amy Winehouse?
Nope.
Amy, it's your friends Kevin and Bean at K-Rock.
Oh, it's you guys. Yeah, all right, it's me then.
Okay,
I'm just
all right,
trying to get some privacy because I've been besieged since I got back to England.
Have you?
Yes, I'm sure you've been very busy. A lot to catch up on, I imagine.
Oh, so much to catch up on.
Yeah.
Oops, so, all right, I'll get it.
Hello, is your phone ringing?
Amy. Yes, I am working on my perfume.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Hey, Amy.
I'm talking to perfume company. Hold on. Yeah, I'm working on the lab right now. All right, no, I'm doing a radio interview. Can I call you back?
She's very busy.
Thank you, Mr. Chanel.
Really?
Oh, wow, a lot of interest, huh?
And or Jean Nate, whoever you may be.
It sounds like you're literally in the lab. Are you putting the scent together right now?
I am literally in the lab as we speak.
I see.
Working on my signature fragrance.
Doesn't that take a scientist to do?
No.
Okay.
It takes me to do it because I want it to represent me and my special odor.
What is your special odor?
It's a combination of things, really.
Okay.
So far, I'm sort of brewing it up right now. I've got a pack of filterless cigarettes in there.
Okay.
I've got some old clams. The gland of a muskrat.
Oh.
And the panties of a homeless woman.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, wait, those are mine.
Oh.
It's hard to tell the difference sometimes.
Amy, isn't the...
various shavings from my body.
What?
Oh, like hair and stuff?
I won't go into what area has been trimmed.
I'm afraid of that. Listen, I thought the whole idea of a perfume that you buy from a celebrity you admire is you want it to smell good.
Listen, I'm an artist, all right? But what I create has to represent me.
Right, but you need to also create something that people want.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm doing it. That's okay. Why it's my essence I'm putting in there, so my fans can have something that truly represents me.
Okay, all right.
Now, I've got Clamato juice
right
in there.
Okay.
All right, I got a little dash of toenail.
Oh.
You know, it's the clean ones.
Why do they want that at all?
Nobody wants toenail.
Have you ever smelled a toenail?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. No. It's like a flower.
No.
Yeah. Why don't you come over and put my foot in your face and you can smell it?
I'd rather die.
I don't think so. No. Thank you.
Let me see. I've got just a pinch of cayenne pepper.
Okay.
Because I'm spicy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've got a little battery acid.
Okay. Why do you have that?
Because I can rub people the wrong way sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
So this way, when you dab it behind your ears, it'll actually burn your skin.
Ah.
That's how you know you're wearing Amy.
Sure, yeah. My fear is you're going to get this whole thing made up into a batch, and then you're going to drink it.
How dare you? I would never do that. I would inject it.
Oh. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday afternoon. What's happening?
Oh, can you wait? Can you wait for the Michael Jackson movie? The This Is It concert tour movie?
They're making it into a movie?
Yeah, they've got all the footage of Michael Jackson rehearsing for the This Is It concert tour in London.
Oh, this is the 100 hours that they have.
And they have sold it all to Sony Pictures.
Right.
Sony paid $60 million for the footage.
60?
60.
Wow.
$60 million for the footage of Michael rehearsing for his comeback tour.
Okay.
I wouldn't have any interest in going to see a rehearsal in the theaters at all.
Nope. It's going to be released in theaters on October the 30th.
But I would think all of his fans would.
How far along was he in his rehearsals?
Pretty close. He was
a couple weeks out from the show.
He was supposed to be performing 2 weeks ago.
Well, I bet a lot of people would go.
The Jackson family will reportedly get 90% of the $60 million that was paid for that footage. And they said they're going to establish a charity in Michael's name. How about paying back some of the people he owes money to first before he start giving it away to charity?
Yeah.
I love charity and all, but there's probably some people who are waiting.
He does seem
waiting
to be
for a while
behind.
With some bills.
Yeah. And while we're making requests to the family, why don't you bury the brother at some point?
Did they get his brain back yet?
He still hasn't been buried.
That's at the Orange County Fair.
That's Al's brain.
Oh, sorry.
They're waiting for his brain, I think. They're going to put the brain back in. You don't want a zombie Michael Jackson walking around.
You do. Well, if there's anyone that you want to be a zombie, isn't it Michael Jackson?
Because then he starts dancing and everybody joins him and it gets very messy.
Oh, that'd be so cool if he really became a zombie.
Oh, that would be.
It'd be the best.
Remember Hall & Oates?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Remember Hall & Oates? Big, big band in the 80s.
Woo!
Big band.
Sure.
One of the most successful duos in the history of rock and roll.
Mike's enthusiasm is a little strong.
Their greatest hits in my CD changer right now.
Yep. Hall, of course, Daryl Hall was sort of the face and voice and sound of the band.
Right.
His partner, John Oates, sort of backed him up and just had a mustache. That's probably what he was best known for, was the mustache. He has since shaved the mustache.
Well, then what is he?
And no one recognizes
He's
him.
He's nothing.
However, his iconic mustache lives on. Apparently online right now, you can see a new cartoon called J-Stash, which is about John Oates talking to his old mustache and getting advice from it.
Okay. I can't go for that.
Boo.
So boo.
I hate him.
The voice of the mustache is voiced by comedian Dave Attell.
It just gets worse.
What's happening?
That is happening online.
Is it John Oates' voice?
Yes, it's John Oates.
It's his real voice.
Asking his former mustache for life advice, and the mustache is played by Dave Attell. You can find that online.
Out of touch with their fans, if you want my opinion.
Okay.
Out of Touch is another Hall & Oates song.
Of course it is.
Big number one song. Yeah.
Right.
Are they having some private eyes look into it and investigate to see if there's a...
They were hired by a rich girl.
All right, I'm done.
Do you promise?
I'm done.
Modest Mouse fans.
Although I bet there's some man-eater out there who would love to see it, I'll tell you that. Keyboard
Cat is playing Bean right now.
We're happier for the Keyboard Cat.
Modest Mouse is releasing an EP later this summer. You can check it out if you're fans of that particular band. They're good. I like that Modest Mouse.
Me too.
The website says that no
Does
one's
the cat
first.
Stop?
No, he keeps playing.
Okay.
Until he's over, until he's done. Oh, no one's first, and you're next. Collect six tracks that were previously released as limited edition 7-inch vinyl singles only, as well as two B-sides. So you can look for that on August the 4th. That'll be
great.
So you can check that out. Just wanted to give you the heads up. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Daniel Radcliffe, better known as Harry Potter in all the feature films. He is 20 years old today. Destiny's Child's Michelle Williams is 29. Omar Epps stars as Foreman on House. Very, very good on that show.
He is.
Marlon Wayans of the Wayans Brothers is 37. Charisma Carpenter turns 39 years old today. Stephanie Seymour, the supermodel, is 41. Philip Seymour Hoffman is 42. Slash from Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver is 44. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode turns 48, as does Woody Harrelson. And radio personality Don Imus celebrates his 69th birthday today. Don, of course, back on the air after famously using a racial slur on the air that got him fired.
Yeah. 160 years old with a cowboy hat.
Yep, he is quite the broadcaster. Don, how do you do it? How do you stay so vital and topical on your show over there?
I work hard, exercise, and try to stay in good shape. But my beautiful wife keeps my diet pretty clean. Even though I've been diagnosed with cancer, doesn't mean I've got to put my life on hold. Like to start with the elliptical trainer sometimes early in the morning, and I'll work my way up to maybe some exercise.
Thanks
back
for the fitness lift, update.
Not as young as I used to be. So when I'm lifting weights,
okay.
I'll lift weights, but I gotta try to keep light weights. Put on the iPod there.
I think we got it.
I'm Big and Rich. Maybe some Toby Keith. Put on there. By the way, you can get the new Imus music CD. All the proceeds go to the Imus Ranch, where we have host young and powerful children.
We're out of time, actually. We gotta go.
Get it at Amazon.com or iTunes. Anywhere you buy your music, you can get it there. Let me tell you, there's some exciting music on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Don. We appreciate it.
I think they gave him his job back way too soon.
That's my...
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.